Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Farmer, I got what you need, but I ain't blowing smoke when I say I grow trees. It's funny this economy is based on greed. Poor people don't farm who got mouths to feed. Some folks save money, I save seeds. I don't water my lawn or spray weeds. The money I do spend on watering crops, I get right back because I don't shop for groceries. I got breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the yard, so that recession ain't hitting me as hard. My stock grows exponentially. What? The Wall Street Journal never mentioned. Man, I got that homegrown. I don't care about the Dow Jones. The economy could crash tonight, and your whole life savings couldn't save your life. That's why I got that homegrown. I don't care about the Dow Jones. The economy could crash tonight, and your whole life savings couldn't save your life. I said I got that homegrown. I don't care about the Dow Jones. The economy could crash tonight.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Oh, that's great. I was just about to turn on the microphones and Lisa Albright
starts sneezing.
But you know what? I was doing that this morning. I got up and last night before I went to bed, I went into one of those sneezing jags. And
it is this station, though. I am allergic to something in this room.
I'm allergic to something in my home, obviously, but not necessarily here. I have to tell you something, though. And good morning, Lisa Albrecht.
Good morning.
Rob Carthol.
How about it?
And I understand the lovely Sarah Abatka is en route.
In transit.
In transit.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's the rumor. Hope she's listening on the radio as she comes in. Hi, Sarah. Where are you? What the? That's okay. I love busting people. Just like totally. It's on the radio, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to just sort of roll into it. But, you know, Stephanie Miller does that. She says, oh, you know, Hal Sparks is running late, so he'll be here when the traffic eases up or whatever. But I have to tell you something. Can we take a vote? Can we do the fallback thing every Saturday night? Every Saturday?
Yes. But then when would we do the fall forward part or the spring forward part?
Oh, we didn't. We wouldn't. We just keep falling backwards. Back.
Okay.
Just keep falling. So, you know, at some point, the sun would be rising at 4 p.m.
I'm okay with that.
I am too. That'd be even better.
Yeah, it's I needed that.
Can you imagine sleeping till 3 p.m.?
I definitely took advantage of that hour last night.
You know, and I know there's a lot of people out there who have insomnia. I'm not one of them. There's a curse on my family. which means all of us sleep until something explodes outside and then we wake up. I could sleep till noon every day. Every day.
I can't sleep late, but I can fall asleep the second my head goes down.
Well, that's good.
That is, I'll take that.
I do that most of the time. Not 100% of the time.
But lately I've been working so hard that I think I've trained my body for 4 hours because I am waking up after 4 hours when it's not necessary.
Lisa, take a look at a scientific study or two.
I know.
The body does not get trained for 4 hours. You get into deficit. All right.
I know.
And then you made up for it yesterday, didn't you?
I tried. Yeah. I slept a good bit of the on the couch yesterday. But they're saying, you know, that sleep studies show that that lack of sleep is worse than a bad diet. That woke me up. That woke me up because I normally think I can just go, go, go.
Lack of sleep is worse than pretty much anything, you know?
I tend to not value sleep.
Oh, see, let me sit you down, okay? Let me sit you down and talk to you about sleep.
I often say, like, you know, well, I'll sleep next year.
No.
I'll sleep next year.
You know what a lot of people do? They go, oh, we'll catch up. But you know what? It catches up with you.
But I have like, I don't know, Energizer battery that I can just go, go, go. But I need to realize that there will ultimately be a price at some point, even if I don't feel it today. I need to take better care of myself.
Can we get an amen for that? Wait, how about a ding? Today on the show, and one of the, you know, part of the problem with Lisa's like me, we're doing conferences and things. We're at the Bioneers, which is still going on today. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. If you haven't had a chance to go down to Roosevelt University and participate in this, you should. If you're not doing anything today, because the thing's going to go till 5:15, it continues to operate today, which is really, really cool.
And I'll be speaking at 1 o'clock.
That's right, and that's part of the reason you should go there to see. Although, you know, you're opposite a very cool seminar.
I know.
How to design a food forest.
I know.
That's so you just have
there's
to,
good stuff. There's
there is
really good.
Hey,
stuff.
Listen, I couldn't even see your seminar on Friday because I was at another
you were
one,
at a different one. Yeah.
I was at the waste seminar, you know, and I'm president of the Chicago Recycling Coalition, and I wanted to see what was going on there. And you were doing the energy seminar, and then in the afternoon, I did the water seminar, and that was packed.
Oh, yeah, we had great attendance.
Wonderful attendance.
Great attendance.
We had to keep bringing in chairs.
And really smart people and very engaged audience.
It was
exciting to be there.
Young people.
I found it was a very diverse group in terms of age.
Yeah. And
age
now, I
and
don't
gender.
Know if it was because there was a student prize or because Mike Bryson at Roosevelt University horsewhipped him into coming in. I don't think he did. I think they're really interested because there were a lot of young people there.
Well, I think that's where, you know, I know we've talked about some dark and deep subjects here, but I do find hope in the next generation.
I'm glad you do.
Because I know there certainly are those extras out there that do nothing. But and maybe it's just the circles that I keep, but I do seem to encounter young people who are inspired by change and want a different future.
I think that's a good thing. I hope you're right.
I hope so. We need
because
them.
we You know, one of the things we're going to talk about this morning is President Obama making some more executive decisions regarding climate change just the other day. But if you look at the government, and we'll get into this in a second, but let me just lead the way by saying, if you look at the government and the way they approach it, it's incremental. Now, yeah, it's the Titanic, and it's hard to turn the ship around and rearrange the chairs on the deck. But if you look at all the people, the hundreds of people at Bioneers Chicago who were there Friday and yesterday and will be there today, there is a sense of urgency in that room that you do not see in government, except for some people, except for Al Gore. I read this story. Did you see this? I read a story about Al Gore is like totally fired up. And now that some people are starting to make noises about him running for president in 2016.
I don't see it.
I don't either.
I think that his listeners or his followers or whatever you want to call them, us, me, would be interested in it. But I don't think he's interested.
I think being president would only handcuff him.
I think
would make him crazy.
I think he
frustrated.
Is passionate about staying focused on this issue. And when you're the president, you can't have a pet topic. You have to be nimble and ready to handle it all.
Mm-hmm. But that's the difference between what I see in our politics and I see in the rooms like at the Bioneers conference, where everybody is imbued with that sense of urgency. And so they want answers now because we need answers now.
Yes. I don't know if we're getting into this now, where I still find tremendous frustration is the lack of knowledge and awareness with the general public. So I think we float within the same circle and we're always talking to the choir. And it's time that we, I don't know how to break out of that bubble, that we are talking to more people and the general population. I mean, I think recent studies have shown that something like 90% of Americans are in favor of Keystone. But then when you ask them what it means, they don't understand. It's not that different than the poll that Jimmy Kimmel did.
Mm.
Where he asked people, are you in favor of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act?
Yeah, everybody does that one. Okay.
Keystone, they hear the word, sounds cool, they talk about progression, but they don't talk about the 300 oil spills that happened in North Dakota last year that were unreported to the citizens of North Dakota.
And part of the problem is that you're right. We keep talking
to each other.
To each other, to the choir. I gotta say it. This station is kind of that way. I mean, I know that there are people who come and go and flit in and out, and I would hope that there are some conservatives who listen to the station. Probably not very many, and probably not very many who listen to my show. So in a sense, I'm preaching to the choir as well. And the question is, how do you get the word out?
Right.
I find frustrating.
Yeah. And I do, I talk about it. Like last night, the group of friends that I was with, not necessarily have any reason to be exposed to this and try to bring it into the
conversation.
I
thought all your friends were in this industry.
No, not at all.
They play volleyball, right?
I post on Facebook. And I'm noticing more of my friends who were not engaged in the conversation before are now reposting. My mom, who really didn't. Was not engaged at all in this conversation, reposts many of my more environmental 350.org climate reality posts, and she's reposting. So I do see a change in conversation happening, and I think maybe that's where it starts, is just talking and not being afraid of bringing something up, and, engaging in the conversation and pointing the finger to say, this is climate change. This is, when we have, new bug infestation, that's because of climate change. We've altered the climate so that things are changing in nature around us.
And sometimes the people in the industry, the polluters, the evildoers, do us a kind of a favor by doing something so brazen and blatant that people take notice. And one of those things is piling big piles of pet coke on the Calumet River, which is starting to get big attention. Like, all right, I'm going to get to that in a second. Let me let folks know what's going on here, because we've already gone off into tangents.
Yes,
and first of all, I want to, Sarah, are you going to come in here or not? Are you just going to watch us from the booth? Are you afraid to come in here?
I'll come in.
Right. When you feel like it?
I'll come in now.
Okay, good. I'm just wondering. I mean, she's allowed to stand out there and just watch from the booth. But, Rob's already in the booth. And then, by the way, if first hour is kind of free form here today. It's just me and Lisa and Rob and, oh, my goodness, and cookies and Sarah.
Pumpkin whoopie pies?
You brought pumpkin? What is a pumpkin whoopie pie?
It's like a muffin top.
Are you on the microphone?
Kind of.
It's like a muffin top sandwich with cream cheese.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Delicioso.
And I made fun of you? That's not good form for me.
So it's the leftover pumpkin puree from the pumpkin martinis.
Which were a smash hit.
Hey! My invitation to that party is in the mail? Is it?
It's with mine.
With yours, yeah. Lisa and I are, we'll get that any day now.
I figured you guys were busy with buying ears.
Okay. So next week we'll have pumpkin martinis, right?
Yes. It was a pre-Thanksgiving.
You know what?
It's like a trial run.
And we're in that stretch now, that holiday stretch. It's the holiday season. And of all the holidays of the year, I have said this for years, Thanksgiving is the least respected. It gets no respect. I mean, we whiz by Thanksgiving so fast, and then we move on. And we're already Christmas-obsessed, and Halloween gets more respect than Thanksgiving, and all the others do as well. I'm just saying here. So
let's change it.
Let's
right
give
here on this
Thanksgiving.
Show.
And I like Thanksgiving the best of all the holidays.
I do, too.
Because it's the least commercial. It's like, it's really, except for the food aspect, but even the food aspect is a good thing if you commercialize food, especially if you do it in the right way. And we talk about, and speaking of that, let's make that segue to the thing I played at the top of the show. Some people might want to know what, I'm starting to see this everywhere. This guy, Keith Cross is his name. And it's Keith Fathom, F-A-T-H-O-M, Cross, and Fathom is in quotes. And you can, he's got a Facebook page, and we should put a shout out to him, because I sent him a Facebook message yesterday, and I know it was last second because I just found out about this song a couple of days ago when somebody connected me to it. My friend Mac introduced me to this song. It's called Homegrown, and it's a hip hop song about growing food. And I played it at the top of the show. This is kind of how it goes.
Save your life. I'm a crop farmer. I got what you need. But I ain't blowing smoke when I say I grow trees. It's funny this economy is based on greed. Poor people don't farm who got mouths to feed.
So, and it's pretty cool. And I heard it and I thought, you know what? I'm going to play the song and then I'm going to try to get Keith on the show. And I was unable to track him down yesterday. Well, you know, it's Saturday. It's kind of a short notice. But let's continue to get the word out about the song. If he sees it on Facebook.
What's his name again? Keith what?
Keith Cross.
Cross, okay.
Keith Fathom Cross. Keith, quotation marks, F-A-T-H-O-M, end quotation marks, Cross, C-R-O-S-S. And the tags on his, I guess he does a lot of different stuff. He's out of California. R&B, soul, blues, hip-hop, rap, jazz, neo-soul, just all kinds of stuff. So that was that song, and I've seen it's making the rounds, so I had to give him some props there, and maybe we'll get him on the show to talk about what inspired him. But obviously, growing food is what inspired him, so it's pretty cool. This week, as I said, first hour, kind of free form, and I see we got to give away ticks, right, Rob? And I think, Lisa, we're going to give away ticks to the Great Debate 3. It's this Thursday. Stephanie Miller versus Michael Medved. Those of you who listen to Chicago's Progressive Talk know that it's coming up. It's 7:30 at the Meadows Club in Rolling Meadows. And we can arrange for you to have will call ticks. So shall we start with that first question? Well, yeah, because you've got your phone call. We're going to get to Nick in just a second. But Lisa, you want to do that question? Just give away some Stephanie Miller ticks? Let's give away a pair here.
Yeah, I was looking to double check that my answer was correct.
All right, I tell you what, you check on that.
I got one lined up.
You got one lined up?
All right, Rob's
sure.
Ready.
All right, Rob, go for it.
We recently discussed this on the show, so if you were paying attention.
Oh, good. I love it when we make people work and pay attention to the show.
The buckthorn, the invasive buckthorn, which is an invasive plant that
yes.
we don't like because it's invasive.
Yes.
Recently, another reason was discovered why this particular plant is harmful for the environment.
Awesome question. That is a great question, Rob.
Thanks.
We discovered... You must be, it must have been the pumpkin martinis that inspired
you,
right?
Yeah, working.
Yeah. So recently, there was another thing about buckthorn that was discovered. Another reason why it's pernicious and should be destroyed, and we should get rid of it. And for those of you who think it's woods and you want to protect your poor little woods, you poor little people, wah, I've got my woods, wah, don't cut down my buckthorn, wah. Sorry, I'm getting kind of. If you know what that new reason is, 773-763-9278. And if you're correct, you'll get two tickets to the Great Debate 3 at the Meadows Club in Rolling Meadows. All right, good. Now, you know, now the same day. Okay, before I even do that, see, I'm all over the map here. Let me just say, because then I can, then we're free to talk about anything we want here. Christy Weber's on in the second hour today. And I'm very pleased that she didn't take offense that we called her a loose cannon on Facebook.
I think she'd actually probably find that to be a compliment.
I think she does too. She's the kind of loose cannon you want on your side.
Yes. Bulldog full of energy.
Yep.
She is determined and energy driven. She's amazing.
Yes, she is.
And I've only met her twice, but both times I was like, wow, she has a lot of energy.
And she's going to be here on the show in the 10 o'clock hour. So I hope you stick around for that because she is, if nothing else, very entertaining.
A hoot.
Right.
She's a hoot.
She is a hoot. A hoot and a half, actually. And of course, a great sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, but that's not why she's here. She's here because she's a hoot and a half. And she's going to be talking about the International Network for Urban Agriculture, or INUAG, which is a new website and concept. And, you know, a lot of people doing urban ag, and she's trying to spread it around the world, and that's a good thing. And so Christy Weber will be here in the 10 o'clock hour. And as I mentioned, the great debate, oh, my goodness, we've got people calling in about it. That's great. The great debate, the three. Is this Thursday. But you know what else is this Thursday? Is the kickoff of the holiday season. It's the holiday season.
Oh, you guys are...
For the Frozen Robins, yeah. My Caroling Group. Let's give them a ding, although they're not sponsors of the show. We will be singing live at the Chalet Nursery.
Oh.
In Wilmette, home of, as I've mentioned before, the lovely and talented Jennifer Brennan. Actually, she doesn't live there. She just works there.
Wow. Can anyone come?
Yeah, it's open. Come on. Stop by. It is their holiday preview party, and it's 2 days, actually, the 7th and the 8th. We'll just be there on the 7th. But the holiday preview party at Chalet is from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday and from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Friday. But the Frozen Robins, and as Lisa mentioned, anybody can come. It's open to the public. I mean, of course, they'd love to have you buy something while you're there. But it's not necessary. We will be singing from 4 to 7 p.m. In Dickensian garb, top hats and shawls and things. I guess some of it's outside. It'll be interesting. I'll have to ask Rick DeMaio at 9:45 exactly what kind of weather we're going to have for the 7th. So that's a very early start to the season, and it tells you that you are indeed in the holiday season. All right. Let us take a quick... Oh, did we lose our... I hope we didn't lose our arborist. Well, first we'll go to Jim from Berwyn. Jim, good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good this morning.
Did you get an extra hour of sleep?
I sure did.
I mean, I hope you did. See, obviously, that's why Sarah was out partying last night, because she knew she had the extra hour going on. Right?
No, I was at home.
Well, you can party at home, too, you know. It's possible. It can be done. Jim, do you have the answer to our question?
I think so. I think they found that the buckthorn, in all its different forms of development, but specifically, I think when it's flowering, maybe in the spring, it produces a chemical that is toxic in amphibians to their eggs.
Very good. Now, I wouldn't go. I don't get too much into detail there because I don't think it has much to do with the flowering, actually. But
okay.
It is just that it has found that buckthorn has allelopathic properties. We already knew it had allelopathic properties in terms of plants, meaning that there are chemicals in the plant in buckthorn that can prevent other plants from growing around it. But the idea that it might be hurting amphibians as well is indeed what was discovered. So great, Jim. Well, you're going to go see The Great Debate with Stephanie Miller.
Okay. I've got a question for you. Do you know how buckthorn was introduced to the United States?
Well, from what do you have the answer to this, or are you asking me the question?
I think I know the answer, but I'm not sure I'm 100% right.
From what I understand, and I could look it up, from what I understand, it was introduced on purpose as an ornamental. I suppose it might have been introduced to create hedgerows because it's so thick. What is it you know about?
I think it was introduced by Dr. Kennicott, who was the predecessor to this long horticultural family in the Chicago area.
What?
Who introduced it from Asia.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kennicott Brothers?
Well, I got to look this up to see what if this is indeed true. That's kind of interesting. Wow. Oh, wait, and I'm looking here online. Went very quickly. Let's see. Do-do-do-do-do. Where's Dr. Kennicott? It was right there in the headline, and now I can't find it. And okay, here we are.
So I'm looking in the Chicago Wilderness Mag.
Yeah.
.org, and that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Kennicott, a physician.
And it says reputedly introduced. Maybe they mean reportedly introduced the European buckthorn. I did not know that. That's interesting. And here's, let's see, I've got a Wikipedia thing here too. It's not going to be there. All right. Well, I think you might be right about that. I wasn't aware of that, Jim. That's very cool. All right. Well, thank you for calling
thank you very much.
And, Rob, you got his information? Are we all set there or do you need to get, okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and you talk to Rob again, and will be getting a couple of tickets to The Great Debate 3. And thanks for listening to the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's very interesting. And, of course, it has spread like crazy. I was looking, that's what happens when you try to go real fast online and find this, but that sounds like it might be true. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. In just a second, we're going to have to talk about Kickstarter and the plant on the south side of Chicago. Before I do that, let's take one quick call and let line one. And Rob, the name's not up there, and I forgot the name. Rich. Is that who it
Richard.
Is?
Richard. Yes, it is Richard.
How you doing, Richard?
Fine, thanks. I heard you talking earlier about how to get conservatives and people that listen to WCPT are predominantly progressives, but I only listen to WCPT. It's the only talk radio I listen to, and I am what would be considered pretty much ultra-conservative in things. Global warming, 100% fact. I mean, I don't say that it's man-made. So how does a person that's as conservative as I am reach out, work with people who are progressive and liberal on this issue without selling out all my other core values and my worldviews? I mean, how do you sit down and say, on this issue, you're 100% right, left-wing guys, and let's work to change this. Let's work to educate the world and do what we can to reverse or stop or slow down this man.
Well, Rich, what I would say is you don't have to sell out your other worldviews. I mean, you can. I mean, there are connections there. I would argue that there's a lot of social justice involved in the global warming issue or climate change issue, I should say, because global warming is one of those things you're not supposed to say anymore. There is social justice, if only because a lot of the areas of the planet that suffer the most environmental degradation happen to be poorer areas. You know, and you look at even dumping the Petco piles pet coke piles in the on the south side. As I mentioned last week, you're not going to find them in Lake Forest. You'll find them in the Calumet River.
Well, and I think, too, I think you, what I heard you say that resonated strongly with me was you said, you know, how do you make sure that this is not a partisan thing? And I think it's science. It's not partisan. And I think, I don't know if it's the media, I don't know if it's politics, but it shouldn't be politics. We as a race, as a species, are facing a problem that we all need to work hard at solving. And I don't think that politics has anything to do with it. I think it's crossing over, you know, religious organizations feel this spiritual need. And when you look at, you know, the strong conservative, you know, my family is all Catholics, and they feel the moral responsibility of tending the planet. And so I think that's part of where you can go with the conversation is this is our conservative responsibility to take care of.
Can I give you a point of
Please.
Perspective on that? When it comes to science, for one thing, because I am a social conservative and a religious conservative, when you use the word science, if I agree that science has proven that climate change, global warming, whatever, is a fact, it's a fact. Science is also used against us as religious people are completely lacking intelligence because they believe in a deity, and science has disproven God, Richard Dawkins and the new atheist movement. So if I sit down with global warming people and say, hey, man, let's get plastic off this earth because it's killing our oceans. It's killing us. Let's do this, this, and this. Then I don't want to be part of a scientific movement that says that there is no such thing as God. I mean, I don't believe that idiocy. So how do you stand your ground and say, look, we got to get rid of plastics that are suffocating our oceans, and I'm sitting down with people who say I'm a fool because I believe in God.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think there certainly are some scientists who say that, you know, God doesn't exist, but I wouldn't say all scientists say that.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say we have that dichotomy right here in this room. With
yes.
you and me.
Yes.
I'm one of the idiots who doesn't believe in God. Okay.
And I do.
And she does. She's an idiot who believes in God. So, and there you go. And yet we both agree that we have to do something, that there is an urgency to this. And obviously you agree with that, Rich.
Yes.
Because I don't have to convince you, which is great. And I'm hope you're fighting for the cause. But you're right that
Absolutely. We
throw in all this other stuff that gets in the way of us talking to each other. And the problem is we've become so sensitive, and there's so many hot button issues that the minute we hear this word, that word, the other word,
We
don't like, we flood, meaning that our adrenaline rate rises and we stop listening. We can't listen. Our body is programmed, and there have been studies done about this. My friend Andra Medea has studied this intensively, that when your adrenaline level goes up, you lose the ability to listen. You lose your cognitive ability. And we're like Pavlov. We're trained when we hear the other side or somebody hit a key word, we immediately lose the ability to communicate. And that's part of the
Wasn't I honest about that, though, when I heard science is in this, that my I mean, by the way, I'm a former atheist, so I understand the rationale for atheism, and I don't dislike atheists. But when I hear the term science, then I automatically knee-jerk thinking, well, how can I get involved with people who are sitting across the table looking at me, are just using me as a fool? And they're just using me as a political tool, and I don't want to do that because I don't agree with many of the other political things that come along with fighting climate change, which we have to do. I mean, I'm training my two children to fight climate change.
I bet you recycle. I bet you compost. Yep. I bet you do those things, right?
Yep. You bet.
Well, yeah.
Those are kind of simple,
right.
Really.
But
yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, there's that fabulous group of nuns in Kentucky who are against fracking. You know, I mean, there are tons of climate scientists who believe in God. And I think, you know, when the conversation goes there, I think there's two things. One is to call, if others are attacking you on that issue, one is to stand up and say, you know, these issues are separate. But I think, too, to also watch your own sensitivity to say, okay, I don't want to use this as a dividing force. So how can I be an example of someone who believes in God, who also believes in climate change and wants to work for change?
Right.
You know, and it's challenging because we do feel threatened. And when we feel threatened, we all respond in ways that we're not proud of. And so I think to be that shining example that you can be both. The scientist I was going to name was Catherine Hayhoe. She's a very conservative, evangelical person, but is a climate scientist, and she speaks in public all the time, and she helped to author the Chicago Climate Action Plan. So to continue to show people that it's not a dividing point. Science and religion are not equally exclusive of each other. And as much as Bill Maher tries to make it so, it's not right. You know, I mean, to name names, I mean, Bill Maher is divisive on that topic, and I don't think that is helpful.
Mm-hmm. No. Because, I mean, it doesn't help HBO because I boycott HBO because of that very single man. But
really?
Yes, absolutely. There's no way I would pay $18 a month to make that man a millionaire the way he treats me and my brothers and sisters in the faith.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we have to clean the oceans. I mean, all three of us know that if we don't clean the oceans, this debate we're having is moot. We're all going to be living in caves pretty soon. I mean,
and you understand the urgency, and that's and I think that's wonderful, and I'm proud to have you as a listener to this program. In fact, Nick, what I want to do, would you like?
Was it Richard?
No,
Richard was last called.
It is Rich. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong name on the phone. Richard.
Okay.
Richard, how'd you like a couple of tickets to the Great Debate?
That would be absolutely. I love Stephanie Miller, and I absolutely love Michael Medved. So they're two good people. Yeah, I would love that. Yes.
Okay.
And I plan on being there, so I would love to meet you face to face, Richard.
Thank you.
So how are you going to? She'll be wearing the.
You'll find me. I'm loud and noticeable.
All right, Richard, hang on a second. I do appreciate great discussion, and I'm so glad that you called in because you brought up some terrific points and how we actually do have to start to listen to each other and work
it's
together.
This conversation that helps move everything forward.
Yes,
we need to find our common ground and not our individual preferences.
All right,
Michael. Your show is helping my children. I mean, my children are my wife is sitting beside me here in another car. I mean, we're very concerned about this. So you're a friend of ours, and as far as I'm concerned, this issue we walk hand in hand.
Amen.
So I'll hold. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Rich. I appreciate that. And you talked to Rob, and how cool is that? That's
a great caller.
You know, this is how it's supposed to work, folks. This is how it works.
Let's talk about what we have in common and not what we have differences.
Especially when it comes to this, because it's such an urgent issue. I mean, you can have differences about other kinds of policies.
Right. Well, and that's I love John Stewart because, you know, he's openly Jewish and openly against these issues. And I think he's a good example that we don't need to have religion to divide us. But unfortunately, as much that Bill Maher has that's positive to say, I think he does put a lot of people off, and he's separating people as opposed to bringing them and inspiring them to make change.
Yeah,
and
but,
take
you know,
action.
There are religious people who do the same thing.
Oh,
who put people off. And mm-hmm. really, while Bill Maher is very famous and has a huge platform, he's in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say, you know, because folks are, who are religious think they're being, or at least like to say they're being bullied by people like us. Well, we feel the same way.
Right.
So how do we resolve that?
Well, and there's the whole constant, you know, as we move into the holiday season, there's always the constant debate of division of church and state and secularism and putting up, you know,
All right. We got lots of calls, and God, this has gone fast this first hour.
We haven't even talked about the plant.
We haven't. And we're going to do that next. And we got some calls. You know what I'm telling you? I'll talk to Rob. Rob, I'll talk to you in a second. We'll figure out what we're doing here. If you hesitate to plant tulip bulbs because you have critter issues, you might want to take some advice from D. Landreth Seed Company. As a rule, critters don't eat species tulips. Aha! But what are species tulips, you ask? Well, species tulips are wild tulips. They are the progenitors of the glamorous tulips we have today. Species tulips are usually very short, 4 to 6 inches, but they are big on appeal. They return year after year and multiply rapidly. Biflora is one of the tiniest of the species tulips, reaching a height of 4 inches. It produces 4 to 6 blossoms on each end, so even though it is short, it affords abundant blossoms. The blossoms are cream-colored with flushes of pink and mauve, or mauve, however you pronounce it. A drift of 10 to 25 is quite stunning and can remind you of a lavish bridal bouquet. Or you could try Tulipa linifolia, again, another species tulip. It's one of the showiest. It was introduced in 1884. It has a beautiful scarlet flower with a black base, and the foliage has deep red edges. And we're getting to the end of planting time, but you could still get them in the ground, believe me. This will work. Find out more about these three historic bulbs at LandrethSeeds.com or go to their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407. D. Landreth Seed Company, a purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
Hi, this is Ron Calvio from Mighty House. Are you looking for a new ride? Looking for a cool ride? Looking for a ride that you can plug in so you can flip off the guy at the gas station? Well, here's your chance to get one for as little as $40. The Illinois Solar Energy Association is raffling off a 2014 Chevy Bolt, and only 3,000 tickets will be sold. So how do you win? Go to illinoisolar.org and click on the link to the Chevy Bolt raffle. You can buy one ticket for $40, two tickets for $60, or four tickets for $100. All raffle proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout the state of Illinois. The winner will be drawn at the ISEA member meeting on December 7th, 2013. Again, that's illinoisolar.org to buy your tickets and to get all the small print details.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And you may not be aware of this, but you heard Ron Calgill with the ISEA raffle, and I have my tickets, and you just heard DR. I bet a lot of you folks don't realize DR is Ron Calgill's outfit. That's his company. And so when he advertises on this show, I want you to hire him because he's great. Because he's worked on stuff on my house,
and he is great.
And he doesn't plug himself on his own show, and you know, and I understand that. It's that's a good thing, but I get to do it on my show. Ron's wonderful, one of the most ethical people I've ever worked with. In fact, the most ethical contractor I've ever worked with.
Yep.
And does quality work, and DR Services is a company that you really want to hire if you've got something important that you need taken care of around your home.
Yep.
I just thought I would let folks know that. And now it's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertolt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Wally isn't a real doctor. Just ask his patients. Wally says that your fall leaves from healthy trees, of course, that you throw away, and shame on you for that, are a great source of organic material for your veggie gardens and planting beds. Here's how to put them to use. Collect the leaves into a large garbage can. Wear a dust mask and eye protection. Lower your weed whacker into the garbage can and mince up the leaves. Spread a layer of manure across the beds and then cover the manure with an inch or two of shredded leaves. God, this sounds like great soil in the making. Leave the organic blanket on till the beds till spring, and then when the weather warms up in the spring, earthworms will channel up, help break down the organic material, and aerate the soil in the process. And then you simply turn the mixture into the soil before planting. Voila! You have great organic soil. Learn more in person from Dr. Wally himself at Bertolt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. They are having their big open house next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 8th, 9th, and 10th of November, and I will tell you more about it in the next hour. Just look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertoltzgardencenter.com. Bertoltz, get green, let's get growing.
All right.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. While we're getting Ricky D on the line, we need to mention, two? You've got two, what? Yeah? What? What?
He's here, line two.
Oh, okay. We'll get him in a second when he's on hold, but you and I needed to mention very quickly the plant on the south side of Chicago. In fact, let's bring in Ricky D right now. Mr. D! Turn down your radio, sir.
Oh, is that me, Mike?
Yeah.
I was calling for the to get tickets for the great debate. Is this the line to call?
Yes, sir. I'm afraid.
Oh my God! I'm so happy. I don't know what to say.
We're giving them the caller number 7. Oh, you're caller number 6. Try again.
Oh my God! Don't you love those old radio days?
Yeah. Yeah, the old caller number. We'll take the 71st caller.
You probably remember this as well, when you had the old rotary phone and you had to just slam the phone down and try it again and slam it down. That's
didn't dial fast enough.
That's when radio was radio, right?
It was. And I got my friend Tom Neufeld, who listens to the show, and he's always he's an old radio guy. Not that he's old, but he's been in business for a while. And he did the real stuff. I mean, he was a rock and roll DJ. I never quite made it to rock and roll DJ.
Oh, but you had a little bit of that when you talked earlier before about live.
Well, I've done that stuff.
Feel the power.
kicking out 5. You know, we used to do at the University of Michigan where I went to school, and it was broadcasting with 10 watts less power than the average light bulb.
You know, Mike, for a brief period of time, I actually had the other meteorology students at the University of Wisconsin produce forecasts and put them on the, what they call them, the carts back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. For WLHA Radio, which was Lakeshore Housing Association, I think it served about 10 dorms. And something happened where the news director who did the news said something wrong, and they looked at me and they said, okay, you're the new news director. I go, fine, I do weather and I do news. And they paid me, get this, $50 a month to do it. That wasn't bad back then.
No.
$50 a month, yeah.
Wow. To do what exactly?
To be the news director for WLHA Radio.
Wow.
Weather. I had all the weather guys going over there and cutting tapes and, you know, just basically preparing themselves to do radio when they get into the real world. That's where you really cut your teeth in this industry, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I remember the old days before computers, and they had these huge machines, these teletype machines, and they would sit in the corner, and they used to make that noise, and you would hear it sometimes on the radio, that
right.
And then it would go...
Ding, 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 ding.
When a big story would come, and according to the bells,
right,
bells was a major story, and then one, and then 4-3. I remember a 5 bell. I was on. It was a Saturday afternoon at WWJ in Detroit when Elvis died.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and the 5 bell came over, and I went, "Whoa, the king is dead."
Ooh. You know, we had the same thing in the meteorology building where everything was on that teletype sort of system, as you mentioned. And during severe weather, we'd do the same thing. It would be printed out the information, tick, 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 and all of a sudden it would go into the pre-bell mode. It'd go tick, 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 do, 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 ding, 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 ding. And literally you would get like a flood of kids run into the room. And you're right, if it had 4 bells, it was probably a warning. If it had 3, it was basically a statement saying the warning has now been dropped. And we all went, just by listening to the number of bells.
Darn! Yeah. We want that big story.
And then
after a while, what folks did in the those used to be in the background, so you'd actually hear them doing that. And then after a while, they would play a tape of those machines and sort of run it in the background, so it sounded like you were in a real newsroom.
Oh yeah, WINS Winds News. I think it was 1010 in New York City. I don't know if they still have it, but their thing was give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. And during the entire broadcast, you heard us. This newsroom kind of sound in the background, which doesn't exist. And the strange thing about it, when I was at you know, Fox News for a while, in the evenings you would always hear the sound of one typewriter, and that one typewriter was used by Walter Jacobson. He did not know how to use a computer, refused to learn how to use a computer, and still up until, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago, typed everything. And he would actually not sit down, but stand up. And you probably remember seeing people stand up with the pen sticking out of their mouth, looking at something. As they would look up, they would think, and they would type something out. The entire newsroom was quiet except for Walter's typewriter. And it kind of gave it a sense of, you know, authenticity.
Yeah. Some guys stand up while they do radio. Roy Leonard used to do that occasionally at WGN, where he'd just get tired of sitting down, and then he'd stand for a while and just have the microphone up and just stand and do the show.
Yeah, it's kind of like me. I stand up and I walk around with my earpiece while I clean the bed while I talk to you on this.
It's a different story. So,
You know what? Actually, there's a lot to talk about. I've been listening to your conversation. Great discussion, as Lisa mentioned, about bringing religion and science into the mix. And those are always, always really tough things to talk about. Matter of fact, just briefly, 15-second story here. I subbed at a Lutheran school for a while, and one of the students stood up and said, I don't really believe anything about the planets formed because I was taught that God formed everything. And I went, okay. And I basically went into the principal's office. I go, how do you want me to handle this? Here I am teaching them science, but yet the student said, no, that didn't happen. God formed all the planets. And mm-hmm. she said, yeah, we know. We always have this debate. I go, well, what do you think? And she didn't really give me an answer. So I think still to this day, it's great to talk about it from a standpoint of spreading the issues out on the table and not just say, here's my corner, there's your corner, okay, when the bell rings, let's duke it out. That's never going to fix anything. So
right.
It was great that you actually got people to think about that, particularly on a Sunday morning, maybe on the way to church.
Well, and you do have world leaders. I mean, the Pope is working hard on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not exclusive.
No, yeah, And especially when you were talking, Mike, before about how we see more of the world being affected by, you know, changes in climate and how the changes are creating high degrees of variability, there's probably not a lot of people who realize that the heavy rain that we got in the Chicago area this past week and the flooding rains in some parts of the mid-Mississippi Valley was actually connected to the remnants of what was Tropical Storm Raymond. And Raymond was actually a hurricane that was just land-basting the areas just to the west of Acapulco for about 3 days with extremely heavy rain. And then Raymond basically just kind of stayed there for a while, meandered northward, and then literally got caught up with the flow of this very strong storm system that came across the Midwest. And I showed it to my students on Tuesday, and they went, holy cow, you can actually see it kind of getting ripped apart, being pulled northward. And I said, Mr. DeMaio, why is that such a strong storm? And I said, well, what are the three things that you need for hurricanes? The first one is warm water. Let's look at the water temperature. Lo and behold, the water temperature off the coast of Mexico is an astounding 86 degrees right now. And they went, wow, there it is. I didn't ask the kids whether they were Republican or Democrats. I go, here's the science. There's the warmer water. There's the remnants. Look how we connect with the tropics.
Yes.
Look how mm-hmm. a storm system that would have normally given us 1 to 3 inches of rain gave us 4 to 6 inches of rain. And, you know, a tornado outbreak across the deep south that didn't really materialize much because it didn't hit anything. But if it would have, you would have been saying, holy smoke, why did that happen? Now, we have actually another storm called Sonia, which is now a Category 1 hurricane. It's almost in the exact same path as where the previous storm
Raymond
was
yeah.
just a couple of days ago. And sure enough, it's right over the same area. It's 86-degree water temperature. Our pattern has become one where we're going to get another large storm coming through the Midwest on Tuesday and Wednesday. And sure enough, what are the numerical models doing? They're actually increasing the chance of precipitation and rainfall across the lower Mississippi Valley to anywhere between 3 and 4 inches of rain over a two-day period. And that's where you can really begin to connect the tropics with the mid-latitudes and how you can see how the warmer climate has warmed the oceans. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get Category 5 hurricanes hitting the coast all the time. It's what the remnants of those storms do. And that's where I really think we need to take the science, not say, we didn't get any hurricanes this year, therefore global warming and climate change exists, therefore put it away. That's not how you do things.
I love having you on this show, Rick. You are the best. You just, when you tie it all together like that.
That's what happens when I start an hour later, you know?
That's true. You had some sleep. So did I. Well, listen, I'm running a little late here. So let's get a forecast, which obviously includes rain and tropical weather coming up our way. And so I can get in a couple of things here.
Yeah. Still, we have tropical cyclone Crosa now hitting parts of South China. That's going to be another story for another day. But beautiful day today, a lot of sunshine. We had an overnight low of 30 at O'Hare, 34 downtown. We have still not yet had a hard freeze in downtown Chicago.
So I know.
Still a growing season. Pretty amazing. That's the urban heat island. 53 today, gorgeous day to do some leaf peeping, so to say. Windy and warmer tomorrow up to 56, and then rain arrives on Tuesday. And the same weather pattern that we had last week will repeat this week. Tuesday, Wednesday, rain, and then back in the windy and cooler weather for Thursday and Friday.
We got to get you an extra hour of sleep every week. All right. Thanks, Rick. We'll talk next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. As temperatures and the leaves on your trees drop, you should start thinking about getting your trees pruned this winter. One reason to do it in the next few months is that people tend to use their yards more extensively during the summer months. Yeah, and large-scale pruning operations can require a great deal of equipment that might get in the way. During the winter months, people are inside, and the noise associated with pruning operations is not as bothersome. Another reason is that pruning during the dormant season can minimize the risk of disease spread via pruning cuts. For example, in areas where oak wilt is common, pruning oaks during the winter can minimize the spread of the disease. If you want more information about dormant pruning, talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. If you call today, leave a message. Your call will be returned tomorrow, guaranteed. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply.
Guess who just walked into the room here? The woman herself, the legend, Christy Weber. You got like two. You don't even have a chance. Say hi.
Hey, how are you?
There you go. She's on in the next hour, so stick around. We're also going to talk about the plant.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Every hour.
Second hour of the Mike Novak Show on a beautiful Sunday. And I'm glad it's that because this afternoon when I get out of here, I'm going to my community garden green on McLean. And it's cleanup day in the garden. We kind of put it off. But as Rick said, which is kind of interesting, Christy Weber from Christy Weber Landscapes and Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. Great sponsors of the Mike Novak Show.
I have to do that. Yeah. They make me do that when I have my sponsors on the show.
Cool.
But that's okay, too.
Yeah.
The fact that the we haven't had a hard freeze in the city is really kind of interesting. There's still stuff. Now, some of the stuff has collapsed. It's sort of half and half. If I look out in the backyard, morning glories, bleh. They're really sensitive and tender. Baptisia has bleh. The thing about Baptisia, what's kind of cool, is that the foliage turns black when it gets to this time of year. The pumpkin vine, bleh. But I got chard, I got kale, I got Nicotiana is still growing and blooming. So in the city, you still got options. It's kind of interesting because, you know, we pay the price with the heat island. It gets hot here. And, but sometimes we benefit from a longer, I got this home run rose out in front, just blooming like a champ right now. Incredible. So you probably see some of that in your work as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People are asking us to hold off before we plant any kale or mums.
Because they got other stuff still going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, you should have kale and mums in there now.
Yeah. Most of our bigger clients, yes. Yeah. But, you know, if it's holding up, why bother? Let's save some money. Move on to the next thing.
Well, that's true. Now, I bet that happens as a landscape designer and a landscape installer. You see that all the time where folks go, you know, the stuff's doing well. Can we skip this season and just extend the old season?
We see that with the Chicago, with the Park District, with City, that used to be kind of a four-season changeout. You used to see a lot of pansies. No more. The tulips are, you know.
You mean in fall or spring?
In the spring. So, you know, we'll put in the, we'll do three-season changeouts. But in the day, it was all in four seasons. You know, you'd go in with a ton of pansies, whatever was early, whatever new thing you could throw in. It would go for maybe a month, and then you were in with your annuals. And then annuals out, bulb, mums, kale, all that stuff in. Talk about not sustainable.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
But you know, you say, and that's the difference among people in different lines of work. So the people in the green industry loved that. Those were the glory days.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys were raking it in, and we're talking, you know, and the glory days coincided with the glory days for a lot of businesses. We're talking the 90s here,
right.
And early aughts, when there was lots of money.
You just had to answer the phone. That was it.
I'm sorry, what?
You just had to answer the phone.
Yeah, you're right, and say, come on out and put stuff in.
If you couldn't make a business go then, you know, it was a joke.
And when I go to conferences in the horticultural industry and I talk to people in the business, they look wistfully at those days and say they're never coming back. Do you feel the same way?
Never. Well, I see different opportunities. You know, I see, you know, that's exactly why we're here to talk about Inuag and all the different things that are happening surrounding food.
Yeah.
I'm always looking for something new and different. I'm not going to just ride on the same trees, shrubs, and grass and cutting grass. And, you know, it's just never been my style. Uh-huh. So it's just, I'm looking now to food. I think that's the new way for landscapers and that we need to figure out how to make money growing food.
Well, and I've seen some of that on your website. And some of the photos that you have of people's backyards, which, wow, did I have backyard envy.
Yeah,
looking at some of those backyards that Christy Landscape has put together, wow, envy.
We have a lot of folks asking us to put in food, and I love it because their kids now exactly, you know, they kind of know where it's coming. It doesn't just come from Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't just come from, you know, next door, you know, in my neighborhood, we have a little grocer. And so they, you know, sell organic, quote unquote, vegetables. So.
And you're in the city.
Yep. Oh, I live right in Wicker Park.
Yeah. Right. And I'm in Logan Square. So we're practically neighbors.
Neighbors.
And we haven't talked too much about this, and I want to talk a little bit about it again. I'm going to kind of weave some of these issues in the hour that you're going to be here on the program. And that's Christy Weber. And if you got questions, comments, 773-763-9278. I'm not sure where the conversation is going to go. We will get to Inuag, which is your new venture, in a second. But getting back to Bioneers, Bioneer Chicago, which is in its third and final day in the city down at Roosevelt University today. There's a lot of permaculture people there. And those people have been doing this for decades and saying, well, we told you to plant vegetables and, you know, and everybody else is just kind of catching up. And the landscape industry is catching up with this as well. And this is kind of what we saw coming when I started MELA, Midwest Ecological Landscape Alliance, 11 years ago. It was the and my friend Dan Costa, who's probably listening at Vern Goers, he gets on my case. He says you got to give the industry credit because we are green in a lot of ways, and you are, but in a lot of ways, the industry has missed the boat.
I think we missed the boat.
And one of the ways you said is like that stuff, all that stuff you used to do that wasn't sustainable is like, let's ship in pansies for 3 weeks and then we'll dig them up and throw them out. And that really isn't sustainable, although pansies are wonderful. How do you reconcile that, though? Then how do you get pansies into the palate? If, you know, and make it sustainable.
Well, in the cool seasons, you just put it in with other stuff. But, you know, I mean, it used to be massive change outs where we would plant, you know, think about it, on the corner of Roosevelt and Michigan Avenue, there used to be, now there's those guys walking, those big steel guys walking. It's that thing. That used to be a massive pansy installation.
Oh, really?
And, I mean, just in the day, it was huge pansy installations, and those would only, literally a month. If you got 6 weeks, it was a miracle. And then we'd come in with all the annuals. Now, it's just, you know, if you really did all of the math money, and then you did all of the time of all of this hothouse growing season, watering, everything, it just wasn't sustainable. It was beautiful, and of course it brought tourists, and that added money to the city. And but I'm just, you know, I'm dreaming a little different now. I'm thinking permaculture is the way to go with some of these beds, if I even have to just sort of do it guerrilla style, where I just do it.
And what about public food forests?
Well, that's what I'm... you know, well, I don't want to tell you about my secret little areas, but when it pops up, you guys are going to be astounded. So, because we hold pretty large contracts downtown, and when you start to see a few things that are food, and you might recognize it as food. I'm hoping tourists recognize it as beautiful and take pictures, it's going to happen.
You heard it first here on my show, folks. So be on the lookout. I mean, are you talking 2014?
Oh, yeah. Spring 20. Oh, yeah. Mother's Day, it will be a food forest.
So you're doing things a little differently.
Yep. Yes, I'm going to do things a little differently.
You always do. You change the things.
I've never really been happy with it anyway for the last 4 years downtown. So, and I'm not talking about Michigan Avenue because we don't do it, but I'm talking about other large clients that are right there close to Michigan Avenue. So, I think that we can do things that are still going to be beautiful, and then by about July, we'll be in the news because it'll be food, but nobody even knows it.
Beautiful and edible.
I love the idea of the gorilla food gardening. That's just too funny. It's a stitch. What I want to do real quick, because we promised folks we'd do it. Let's do it and talk about the plant. Have you been to the plant?
Yep, sure have.
Isn't that just amazing?
Kind of undercover, but you know. But yes.
What, you being there undercover? Or
didn't go on one of the tours or meet, you know, who's the guy that owns it. Just showed up.
John Adel.
Yeah, right.
Did you just call John and say,
came through on with somebody else or something, maybe Roger Cooley, or I can't remember who, but just not, you know, part of any big. It's unbelievable what that guy did.
Yeah. And it's a model for the future. Earlier in the program.
She's going to sneeze.
I know. There she goes. Oh, Gesundheit. I would say God bless you, but, you know, me and God are not on speaking terms.
That's okay. Richard may have gotten me on that one.
I think Richard's probably saying God bless you somewhere.
I was trying to
listening to the show right now.
Quietly. I turned off my microphone. I turned away. I was trying to
You couldn't hear it on air. It was, you did it very discreetly. It was very good.
That time of the year.
If you're not familiar with the plant, it is just amazing. They took this 93,000 square foot meatpacking plant on the south side, and we've talked about it on this show, and a lot of people know about it. But among their mission statements, among their goals is to develop efficient, replicable aquaponic farming systems, construct and operate a shared kitchen, offer educational programming on sustainable activities. And just in 2013, they've been expanding the indoor aquaponics, completing the outdoor farm, doing commerce and expanding farm sales, and just amazing stuff. Now, one of the things that's happening right now is they've got a Kickstarter going. And the idea is that they are putting in a new lobby, and they want to make it ADA accessible. And, you know, it costs money to do that. So I'm letting you know that you should be going to my website, MikeNovak.net, and clicking out, or you could go to just Kickstarter. They're calling it building a living foyer because they're going to have living walls there. It's from the street, you'll be able to see straight through a new retail area where plant businesses will sell their produce and food. The living foyer will also provide space for tours. It'll be a place for people to lock their bikes. There's so much. I heard, who was talking about that? Was it Dick Kay yesterday? I think so. He had Scott Waggis back on the show.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. And who, you know.
He's my alderman.
Yeah. We all wish would run for mayor. Oh, but he probably won't. This whole thing with bicycles in the city is interesting because people are tense.
The divvies seem to be.
The what?
The divvy bikes seem to be popular.
They are popular.
What's
and they're
the
everywhere,
tenseness?
But the tenseness is people.
Neighbors that don't like them.
Dick was kind of railing against us shutting down certain streets and backing up traffic. Well, Dick, the idea is that fewer people will drive cars. That's kind of the way it's supposed to work. But there's going to be a tension for a while. And I notice a lot more bikes on the streets these days. It's just incredible.
In this last summer, I have slowed down probably 5 to 10 miles an hour for pedestrians and bicycles because I've realized, and I'm, you know, I own up 200 vehicles. I realize that our city, I just can't believe that this Gabe guy from CDOT has done this. You know,
and he's leaving.
It's a bummer because he, of all
Gabe
the different
Klein.
Things that have happened, and
was
the change
leaving?
Out, you know, with the new mayor and Gabe Klein did change something. I just never in a million years expected our city to. It's always been a driving city. Has now to me turned into a pedestrian walking city.
More every day too. Yeah.
Don't you drive slower?
Yeah.
You just do.
Yeah, you got to pay attention.
Yeah. You got to pay attention. You respect.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that folks. Some folks are resentful of this, but it changes hard. You know, a lot of people don't like
change.
Can
you believe where it is? I mean, I actually think if they want to be really brave, shut Milwaukee all the way down from your house downtown from 7 to 9 in the morning and let the bikes have it.
Ooh.
Just let them have it.
Why not? Because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob likes that.
It's a pain in the butt
too.
To drive down it anyway, so why
exactly.
not just
right.
let them have
exactly.
it?
You don't save any time. You might
buses,
as well.
You could leave buses and bikes.
Yeah. Buses.
Because
yeah.
56 is
I mean, how
a huge
cool would that be? I think that's a great idea.
The biking. Community.
And there are people.
You want to talk about making a statement.
And then the BRT, which we've discussed on my show, Bus Rapid Transit, is very controversial in the city. And a lot of. I've heard the arguments pro and con. It's kind of hard to know whether they're doing it in the most efficient way. But in general, I like the idea.
Yeah. Right. I hope I get out of my car. I do. I ride my bicycle more than I ever have.
Uh-huh.
I bought one of those banana seat kinds so I can, you know, cruise around like I'm on a low rider. Because, you know, I do have a low rider. I have a really cool low rider El Camino that swallows up about 3 gallons to the mile. But so I get on my low rider bicycle, and it's a lot easier to get around my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Wicker Park's just full of people. It's fabulous.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when I bought my bike, it was like 5-6 years ago. I don't remember. I got talked into, you know, I was going to get one of those 21 gear things, mm-hmm. speed bikes. And they said, no, you need, here's seven.
Yeah.
You only need one.
That's all you need.
And I went, and I thought, well, that's not cool enough. And then I bought it, and I love it.
Yeah.
You don't need 21.
No.
Not in the city. This is not San Francisco. Okay. Yeah, you're not going uphill most of the time. And you don't need all the speed, speeds on there. So, but back to, so I want folks to go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, look for the Kickstarter campaign for the plant. They need to raise what?
$61,200.
That's what they're trying to get?
Correct. They currently have
They're very specific 40s, on this, aren't they?
Because they got it open.
It's an estimate from a contractor.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it.
Yep.
They're off to kind of a slow start. I'm just going to be real honest with you. And they deserve to have this work because it is the model of the future because of the aquaponics, because of the closed loop zero waste, net zero waste systems that they're going to have. They're putting up an anaerobic digester. How many anaerobic digesters do you have in your business? Just great stuff. And you should support them and the plant. And if you haven't been down there, you need to go down there. I've got the address here on, let's see if I can find this because it's on my website, 1400 West 46th Street, back of the Yards neighborhood. It's just amazing what's going on. Right now, it's kind of sort of blends in, but, it's kind of on a side street. But, 93,500 square feet. There's a picture of me. I got a picture of me in when I went there about a year and a half ago. It used to be a meat smoker or something. And it looks like the Starship Enterprise. It looks like a transporter from the Starship Enterprise, and they're taking a lot of the materials that were in that building and reusing them. That's the other thing that's cool. So we got our plug about that, and I wanted to do that because I ran into John Adel at Bioneers Chicago, and he said, oh, we really need to get the word out. So that's what I'm doing. Okay, one more thing I got to play. I think you'll appreciate this, Christy. Find. I think this is it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. Okay, here we go. I want to play this for you because this is something that Christy Weber, who's in the studio with us, has done recently, and some of you might have seen this. Just listen to this.
Christy Weber Landscapes, I'm speaking.
I don't know why.
I am Christy Weber. I am 52 years old, and I own Christy Weber Landscapes.
You've got to pause.
I started this company in 1988. With a weed whip, a blower, a lawnmower, and an old pickup truck. In 25 years, I have 400 employees with gross revenue of over $32 million. We're one of the largest landscape companies in America. We take care of the United Center, Soldier Field, and some of the most prestigious parks in Chicago.
America, where 1% of the population controls the lives of the majority. And look what they've done. It's time for the rest of us, the 99%, to take the power back.
Every day, I wish I had a bigger say in how the company is run.
Tonight, Christy Weber, a former gym teacher who turned a neighborhood lawn mowing business into a $32 million empire, is executing an experiment inspired by the biggest innovators in business today.
Holy shit.
She's putting the power in the hands of her employees by giving them a chance to choose their own boss.
There's a lot riding on this.
If we can change our company and give a say back to the people who sweat every day in this country, well, then there's hope for all of America. Yeah!
This is the hiring squad.
On this stage will be the new boss of this company. You will make the decision.
For the first time in television history, Spike is giving the power back to the people.
The people that are usually forgotten are making the decision. It's mind-blowing.
But the wrong choice could kill their careers.
I had a vision of all of us being fired.
The Hiring Squad premieres Sunday, October 27th at 11 on Spike.
But the wrong choice could have them planting pansies for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
So what was that from?
See, I know it's bizarre. It's Christy did a reality show
this summer, the spring
on Spike.
Yep.
And how did this come about? What was this all about?
You know, I did the Julian and Bill show, and once you're kind of in that queue for LA for the casting companies, and you're a character, or your team is a character, or the company's kind of odd and different.
Yeah.
They always reach out to you for the new premises or ideas. So they just come out and raise a bunch of, you know, just trouble in my company. Generally, we don't like them to come out because they're always trying to get everybody riled up to make the show or to get their casting done. So in this case, it was really great. It didn't have anything to do with, you know, personalities and conflict. It had to do with the premise that they had of bringing in three candidates to replace me as the COO. And because, you know, I would like to kind of back off a little bit, and it is hard to find somebody.
This wasn't just a gimmick. I mean, it's a gimmick. And the idea is that they're being put in charge of one project the whole company.
For the whole company. The whole thing is I have tried to find people. It's hard to find good staff. So I thought if this network, Spike, and these producers were willing to go across the country instead of hiring a headhunter and paying all that money, why not let them? So they searched the country for three candidates that they felt, based on what I told them, might be able to come in and run my company for me. And then
are you trying to quit?
No.
So
I don't. I don't want to do. I just don't want to be so. I'm not trying to quit. I just want to be a farmer. I want to get out and. I want to, you know,
get your hands dirty.
Well, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get caught up in the running of the business and the day-to-day parts of the business and being an employer and all that comes with that. Yeah. And then they no longer get to do what got them into the business in the first place.
Like being in a skid steer.
Right.
I mean, just working. I like working. I'm a production person. So, and it would just
you want to get back in the pickup truck with the weed whacker, don't you?
I don't want to be mowing the grass again, no. But I do want to be, you know, I would love to be, you know, working on urban farms, helping move. I want to get this out of a movement and into a business. I really want this farming idea, urban orchards, you know, CSAs of food that comes only from Chicago, not from Indiana, Michigan, and, you know, where we have these things right here in our own city instead of that's what started our INUAG. I mean,
keep teasing it. We're going to get to that eventually. However, I want to take a quick phone call from Sherry about bikes. Sherry, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. First time listening to you guys. It's very enjoyable. Real quick on DV, on the DV bikes, I see them all the time downtown racked up, but the city would never make that a priority because people drive cars and they pay for gasoline in Chicago, drop off the family to do shopping, spend money in Chicago, parking in Chicago. So, the city is making too much money to ease out the cars.
I'll tell you something, Sherry. City's not making money on parking. That is all going to a private company.
Oh, I see what you mean. I park at the Sears Tower, and trust me, they're making money. But I see what you're saying about the private company.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a quick story, real quick. It only take a minute. I was over on the north side, Fullerton and Clark, and it was a DV biker. He was going northbound. I thought you're not supposed to go in the same way the traffic is because a guy got out of his car and whacked him and knocked him to the ground. He had a helmet on, and he got back up and said a few choice words and biked away. But I thought they're not supposed to go with the flow of the traffic.
They are supposed to go with the flow. From what I understand.
Yeah, cyclists should follow the rules of the road.
Yeah.
So they need to stop at stop signs and stoplights. They need to do everything that a car is supposed to do. They're supposed to signal their turns.
Right.
And I think there's going to be, we need to figure out these new biking lanes so that drivers of cars know how to ride with riders of bikes. And bicyclists also need to be responsible.
Yeah, as more and more.
I agree. Thanks.
All right. Hey, listen, Sherry, I'm glad you tuned in. And I hope you do
thanks
it,
for listening.
Do
hope
it in
you
the
come
future.
Back next week.
Yeah. It's different topics, and all of them are good. yeah, I will definitely continue listening. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. A great Sunday.
And us on Facebook.
very good. I'm glad you sneaked that in there. Yes, and like us on Facebook. Okay. That's interesting. As more and more cyclists get on the road, bicyclists, They're going to have to pay more attention to the laws. That's going to be the trade-off. And now there's this proposal, I forget which alderman wanted to give bicycle licenses, and you want to see a revolution, you try enforcing that, okay? You want to see people go nuts.
They tried to do that with our dogs, remember? Everybody had to get that thing for their dog, and everybody did, and there were a few tickets issued. All I can tell you is that, here again, bicycles came on the scene a couple years when Gabe came in. I saw him in Washington. I didn't believe this would happen in Chicago. Gabe Klein comes in, and here it is. And I just look at that and say, here's these landscapers in my industry just trudging along. This just happened in 2 years. How could we get in on that? I mean, what do we need to do as an organization, as a group, as an industry to make impact on our cities? Honestly.
Yeah.
Quickly this happened. Where are we? Labor? Is that all we're there for, is just labor?
Right. But why not lead the conversation?
I just feel like, we do so much and everything is so beautiful, but we never get credit for it. We don't. Maybe it's that we don't take credit for it. I mean, kids are playing in the grass that some landscaper installed, but we don't seem to. It's just crazy. I mean, I even called a basket company out of Nantucket, out in Massachusetts, and said, "You had better get over in Chicago and get some baskets on these Divvy bikes because, people don't have any place to put themselves." I just thought there's a market right there.
Oh, yeah.
Baskets.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That turn into backpacks.
That's the way you think, though. You think in terms of marketing and taking advantage of situations, but getting practical solutions. But getting back to the landscapers and taking credit, here's part of the problem. And Dan Costa, if you're listening, now you can give me credit, because I go to garden talks and talk to people about how you talk to a landscaper and you say, "Hey, I love your design. Can I use half of it?" And it's part of it, and that's a joke, but it's about how people think that landscape contractors and architects are overpriced their products. And I say, you know what? They studied too. They went to school too. Yeah. They know how to keep plants alive, because half of you out there are saying that you're so proud of having a brown thumb. Okay, well, if you're so proud of having a brown thumb and you claim you can't grow anything, then let the professional do it for you and pay them what they earn and what they deserve by putting in a beautiful landscape for you and choosing a good plant palette. That then, by the same token, I want those people to be moving forward in thinking of sustainability and thinking of food and thinking of the things that they need to be doing right now.
Yeah,
and
I do too. And I keep pushing, and I love Mila. I wish it would grow and grow and grow. It has the right idea. And we just, the direction that Mila's going in is the direction I think landscapers need to be going.
And if you want to
Mila, it stands for the
Midwest Ecological Landscape Alliance. And you can go to MilaWeb.org, MilaWeb.org. And I started it, but I'm really not involved day to day anymore.
It's tiring.
Yeah, it wore me out. After about 5 years of that, I said, "I'm done. I can't handle this anymore."
You're pulling on a crowd that doesn't want to be pulled. I mean, they're so stuck in their same old ways. And I mean, the only lobbyists that they listen to are the fertilizer and machine lobbyists. So, they're just inundated by.
You're not making any friends here, by saying these things. Of course, you probably don't make friends that
way. I think they're hearing me and they're understanding that, and they're realizing that that's why their businesses kind of aren't, now they're back on and things are good and they're planting trees and laying grass and doing the thing again, but it'll never be what it was.
I should know. I'm so glad I just checked my email, because Dan sends me email who I was addressing. Dan Costa, love you, buddy. He writes, "I agree that there is plenty the industry does that is not all green." And we're talking horticulture. Okay. We're talking basically, this is not agriculture, although agriculture has its own problems. Let's talk about landscape design and horticulture industry here. He says there's plenty of the industry that does that is not all green. The only thing I can say is there are changes taking place. It's slow, I admit, too slow for a lot of people to see, but it is happening. I wish it would proceed faster. We need it to. I see a great increase in low toxicity pesticides. He says he doesn't like to use the word organic, but he says low toxicity pesticides as oil, such as oil and soap-based types.
Good.
Native perennials have gone from a few to an abundance. Some are just not labeled as such, and that gets people who consider natives as weeds to buy without knowing that they're buying a native. Like you said about something else, it's like turning the Titanic. He says, I grow Swiss chard, tomatoes, and lettuce in my perennial borders and have gotten some customers to do it as well.
Good.
We need to promote veggies for decorative use. Some people think vegetable gardens are too ugly and would rather buy their veggies at the grocery. If we get them to incorporate them into a landscape, they accidentally start to grow their own veggies. Good point. You know?
We have kids come over to our house to play that their parents put gloves on their hands. Because they're just...
Why?
Because, you know, dirt is dirty. I don't know where this has come from. You know, I have more bruises on my knees than most kids do on their knees right now.
Yeah.
Why, you know, why is that?
We shouldn't be bubble wrapping our kids. No, they need to get their hands dirty.
They need to get outside.
Uh-huh. Well, there are...
And not be afraid.
There are studies that show the kids who play in the dirt are healthier.
Yeah.
Because...
And they're playing, so they're not fat, too.
Yes.
Which is a big problem in our society.
That's another thing as well.
You know, I mean, they're bombarded by marketing off TV, but we're not telling them about the trees and how they shaded the ground that they're standing below. Mm-hmm. Or the house or whatever, you know what I mean? When Barack Obama did the stimulus money and talked about green, he didn't even have in there the word landscaping. Did you know that?
No.
Read it.
Interesting.
It's all about solar and, a word about landscaping or green.
Well,
our green.
It's not on the radar in that regard, except where the word permaculture is
food.
Used. Food.
Food.
But people are still going to landscape and they need to grow plants other than vegetables. It is important to have flowers and trees and shrubs. And that's all part of nature.
It's
all, you know, we can't ignore that. And that's where we have to incorporate. Let's take one more quick comment and then I need to break here. And let's go to Richard. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. And what a beautiful day it is in Chicago.
About time.
Beautiful blue skies and the leaves are changing color and it's light jacket weather. It's gorgeous out here.
Oh, the colors this week are unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Ugh.
Okay, a quick comment, changing the topic a little, back to Divvy bikes. Congratulations to Chicago and everyone that was involved in putting the bikes out there. One strong suggestion, the half-hour time limit between docking a bike is too short.
Agreed.
Realistically,
agreed.
I think it needs to be an hour, and that would get a lot more people involved because right now, half the time, 15 minutes is spent looking for a place to dock or getting to a place of a known docking station, and that takes away from the bike ride. And I'm not sure what it costs if one goes over that half-hour time limit, but just the idea that Chicago is going to charge someone's credit card is enough to keep me away from investing in it. So whoever's listening, whoever's involved, the Divvy time limit needs to be 1 hour.
I agree with that too. I think I'm not sure why the decision was made to make it half an hour, but just to even get anything. I think that the idea was they just want you to go spot to spot, go ready, set, go,
and
not dawdle and not to keep the bikes out too long. And
well, I think part of it was supposed to help to bridge. For people who aren't close to a train. To other public transportation, it was supposed to make up that gap so that you could get to a bike to get to a train to get downtown or do something like to assist with your commute. But I think in terms of errand running, why not extend that time to an hour? You could get to the grocery store, and if Christy can get baskets put on the bikes, then they can be more of a delivery mechanism as well.
I was just thinking like a basket that hooked on your bike that was a backpack or some cool combination.
Or at least hardware that lets you bring your own in an easier way.
No, I just was, I called the company and said, you need to, because, you know, Divi was, our program in Chicago, I don't know if you guys read this, but we rented the most bikes in the world on a couple weekends.
Oh, wow.
In the world.
Wow.
In Chicago.
Really?
And how fast did that happen? I mean, yeah. Honestly, this is the fastest turnaround I've had seen anything happen.
It was remarkable. 2 months ago?
Yeah. We talked something about like there. That. Yeah. And they have popped up everywhere. I
Except
can't believe.
Except on the west side and the south side, which is a bummer.
Oh, gosh.
Which
what
is
a bummer. Well, you know.
It's a bummer, you know.
Why don't we just tear down those schools there and put some bike racks up?
No, let's build some great, you know, new plants in those public schools where we're teaching
kids about food.
And
we got off the your comment there a little bit, Richard, but it's a great one, and I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for listening to the show.
Absolutely. Enjoy the day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. And it is a great day. It's a beautiful day in Chicago. This is what fall should be like. We got to figure out how to give away one more pair of ticks to Stephanie, so maybe we'll get somebody come up with a question that we can stump our listeners with, and we'll do that while we're doing a short break. I want to let you know that, you know you're getting to the holiday season when it feels like the sun comes up at 9:30 and it gets dark at 2:15 in the afternoon. You need to do something during all of that darkness, so put the cell phone down and pick up a copy of the November-December issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Your kitties will thank you for it. Because there's an article about how to keep them safe from your other best friends, your plants. If it seems as though there are 7,000 houseplants that are toxic to animals and only a dozen that aren't, you're right. Well, I'm exaggerating a little here. Just a little, though, just a little. Here are some plants to watch out for. Peace lily, calancho, lucky bamboo, in this case called unlucky bamboo, amaryllis, pothos, chiflora, poinsettia, corn plant, rubber plant. In other words, pretty much every plant you own now are the poisonous ones, all right? The plants that don't cause harm are orchids, zebra plant, begonia, several types of ferns, prayer plant. In other words, all the plants you can't keep alive. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Kitties love using it, if you catch my drift. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com. And I'm glad you laughed at my joke.
Because the
folks here never laugh at my jokes.
You're the only one.
I am the only one. I write these things and that's really funny. And then,
I have to say, though, I'm posting on Facebook when you're doing that.
Well,
so I do tune out for a
she
moment
does
to get
tune
my
out.
Job done.
Go to Chicagoland Gardening, chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hi, this is Ron Calvio from Mighty House. Are you looking for a new ride? Looking for a cool ride? Looking for a ride that you can plug in so you can flip off the guy at the gas station? Well, here's your chance to get one for as little as $40. The Illinois Solar Energy Association is raffling off a 2014 Chevy Volt, and only 3,000 tickets will be sold. So how do you win? Go to IllinoisSolar.org and click on the link to the Chevy Volt raffle. You can buy one ticket for $40, two tickets for $60, or four tickets for $100. All raffle proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout the state of Illinois. The winner will be drawn at the ISEA member meeting on December 7th, 2013. Again, that's IllinoisSolar.org to buy your tickets and to get all the small print details.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
And now, a word from Christy Weber about Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. I mean, we've talked about your landscaping deal. You know, folks know that they should be looking for gorilla veggies in the spring somewhere, although they don't know where. What's happening at the Farm and Garden Center? It looks like it's going great guns. I was there. Guess what? I came by.
at 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago last Sunday.
And I was supposed to go with you. I bought a ton of bulbs.
Oh. I just went nuts with bulbs.
Well, because we had them half off.
I know.
We were giving them away.
Well, why do you think I went there, you know?
Did you see the hens?
I didn't see them that day. I'm sure they were.
Oh, yeah. You know, people think they're rats. You know, the people, well, they move on the ground, so they scare people. Because they're on the ground, they frighten people because they don't see them, and they think they're rats.
People get over it. They're chickens.
They're chickens.
Oh, they're lovely girls.
Yeah, and their names are Starla and Buttercup, right?
That's exactly right. It's a big genie thing, you know. Genie that works for me.
She
loves those.
Genie is wonderful.
Genie and Marina and Renee, those gals are the gals running the store, and... You know, that was an acquisition. Sadly, the guy that owned that store, Grand Street Gardens, passed away right after we bought it.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so he sort of set it up as a restoration hardware / you know, a little bit of everything at one place, including a garden center. And it wasn't just, and it's a destination place. So it's tough place to money, to be honest with you.
But what's so interesting is it's a corridor in the city where people go all the time, and that's if only because a lot of times they're trying to get away from the freeway, and they go it's one of the places I use, go down Grand Avenue instead. So I pass you guys all the time when I'm going down.
But getting
Grand
them to stop, you know,
you've got all that color there. How could you not stop?
Yeah, but in their minds, they think, okay, it'll be cheaper if I go to Home Depot or if I go to Menards or wherever.
Stop that thinking, you folks. Stop it.
It is not cheaper.
It is not
and
cheaper.
And not only that, it's just, you know, come on, buy local. Everybody complains and, you know, about how our country is falling apart. Well, part of the problem is that we aren't, you know, supporting local businesses. I mean, for a nickel, a dime, a dollar, you come and shop and snap pictures at my store and then buy it on Amazon. How unfair is that?
I know.
That's why people are getting out of the business of having retail stores. It's, you know, look at Division Street. Look at Damon. They're in, they're out. They're going national now. It's not going to be boutiques because it's just... Yeah. It's hard to stay in business. I mean, if I didn't have Christy Weber Landscapes, we'd have closed down Grand Street, that garden center, because it's almost like a community development center, to be honest with you. It's really for the community.
Because you guys do host a lot of events
and it's,
and you help a lot of initiatives and community groups.
We try to, you know, and try to provide stuff for urban farmers, you know, different things. We have beehive stuff. We have chicken food. We have, you know, vegetables galore. You know, we order more of tomato cages than any other place in the city, I think. So we're trying to be about urban farming, but it's tough.
It is tough.
Ask anybody. Thank God we're small. The big guys are going, they're struggling.
And that's going back to that conversation we had earlier about the glory days are done, and it's hard. And that's why I urge people to go to your local independent garden center, please. Because I think the Walmart model is like the most destructive economic model I've ever seen in my life. I just don't agree with it.
They say that when they hire a person at Walmart, they hand them papers to get assistance from the government.
Right. And that we're subsidizing Walmart because they can't afford help. They don't provide the health insurance and they can't, you know. And you've heard that argument on this station.
They pay them an unlivable wage.
Right. And all those places. So we subsidize them. Guess what? Just go to your independent garden
I think that's
center.
Part of the problem with the landscaping industry as well, and why we've kind of not stepped up to the plate is that we have been a part of that Walmart attitude of low pay, undocumented workers, everything under the covers, quiet. No, you know, as much as we could cheat the government, I think our industry has been, you know, sinfully involved in that. And that's changing. You know, thank God things are changing and people are, you know, looking at immigration reform and looking at how to have a healthy, great paying staff instead of, you know, just, you know, worker guys that you don't even know their names of. So, anyway.
All right, let me take care of a little bit more, and then we'll talk about INUAG. We got a couple other things we need to...
That makes sense, Mike?
It always makes sense.
Okay.
Kristen. I don't know. I'm moving them you know, a million miles a minute here, too.
Yeah.
And I know that Sarah has a word of a donation.
Yeah, thank you so much. Greenback Cafe pledged $100 for the plant Kickstarter campaign.
Yay!
So thank you.
How about that? So more people need to do that. This is our telethon for Kickstarter for the plant and other things. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. TreesAreGood.org reports that many people don't realize that plants have a dollar value of their own that can be measured by competent plant appraisers. If your trees or shrubs are damaged or destroyed, you may be able to recapture your loss through an insurance claim or as a deduction from your federal income tax. Go figure. A casualty loss is defined by the IRS as a loss resulting from an identifiable event of sudden, unexpected, or unusual nature. This definition can include such events as vehicular accidents, storms, floods, lightning, vandalism, or even air and soil pollution. If you suffer damage to trees or landscaping from any type of casualty, first, consult your homeowner's insurance policy to determine the amount and kind of coverage. Contact the insurance company to have an appraisal made by a competent tree and landscape professional and have the appraisal made right after your loss or damage. You should also talk to the certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Give them a call at 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466 or go to my website, look up the show. And I've got the advertisers on there, and click on the link there. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
And speaking of great independent garden centers, here's another one you need to support because something big is happening there next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's Bertholdt's Garden Center's 2013 Holiday Open House. You can have some hot cider, coffee, and cookies while you enjoy great store-wide sales. In the Flower and Gift Shop, fall decor 25% off. Halloween items are 50% off. Get a head start on Halloween for next year. In the garden center, bird feeders, 50% off. Select fertilizers and curatives, 50% off. And you can talk to Dr. Wally about which ones he thinks you should have. Grass seed, 35% off. And don't forget to bring your family and friends to visit Santa and his reindeer this Thursday. Wow, we're really in the holiday season. Santa and his reindeer this Thursday, December 7th. From 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Bertholdt's has been serving the Chicagoland area for over 75 years. And their big holiday open house is next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 8th, 9th, and 10th at Bertholdt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front. Go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com or like them on Facebook. Bertholdt's, get green. Let's get growing. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. It's kind of nice to have some folks who are listening today and call in that have never called in before. A woman who was a first-time listener, first-time caller. And Rich, who called in earlier from, did you hear Rich's call from the right side? I like that.
I'm pretty right.
Yeah, you're a capitalist.
Pretty right. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, socially, you know what people need, and you rise to the occasion. You're a giver, too.
But I agree with him. How can we bring this together? Because he probably gives, too.
Yeah. I assume he does. And he loves his children. You know,
and I love mine.
Yeah. And there you go. Before we run out of time, Inuag.
All right.
That's one of the reasons you're here.
So there were a group of us that were yakking with this guy that was working for President Obama. And he just felt like there had to be something going on in Chicago that we, if we can turn the river around and build Millennium Park, and that we should be able to create a site that would become a housing site for all the urban farmers to bring their foods. And he was talking about the post office, you know, the old post office, and turning that maybe into a incubator for urban farmers, and then having, because trucks and semis can drive in there, having that be a distribution house, the river, the trains, the traffic, the trucks, and that the president come to Chicago and clip a ribbon and say, I've created 1,000 jobs instead of what was going on across the country where it was like 50 jobs, 25 jobs. It was rather embarrassing. So we started talking about it, but then another guy bought the building, and then we thought, well, you know what? One thing that is not happening is that farmers across the world, and it's starting in Chicago, aren't talking to each other. You know, like people will call Ben Helfand of NeighborSpace and say, how do I build a garden in my lot? What should I do? Because, of course, it's poisoned, you know, because it's city dirt or whatever. So we felt like we wanted to create a web, and we met for almost, this was 5 years ago we started talking about that. Yeah, it's Peter Cunningham, Grace Rapp, Roger Post, Marina Post, Joe Ferguson, Deborah Boardman, myself, and Roger Cooley. We just started meeting and talking about a virtual place for people to go to understand what's going on in the world, what's happening, and how to. In a way, it's frustrating for me because, you know, I'm a bricks and mortar kind of person.
Right.
So, but it isn't for a lot of young folks. And so we finally had our grand party. You know, if you bring farmers together, they know how to eat and drink. That's for sure.
Actors
and,
do, too. I'll have you know.
Yeah. Erica Allen came and, you know, Eli Cheesecake guy. How come we don't know that? Eli Cheesecake, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Come on. Well, he was there and spoke. And so it was a great kickoff party because we're trying to find people to help us write for Inuag, because the number one thing is it's a web-based.
And it's at inuag.org.
Right.
Inuag, International Network for Urban Agriculture. And you've got all kinds of resources and a lot of articles. It's, who's keeping this up to date?
Roger Cooley. He is the executive director, and I've been the major funder for it. And we've gotten a little money here and there. We haven't really pursued it hot.
Eli Shulman.
Yeah. Mark Shulman.
Mark Shulman?
Yeah, Mark Shulman. That's who it is. We know.
Oh,
and I know
Eli's
him. That's
dad.
Terrible. He's
Eli's
actually head of the Chicago Urban, that's Urban Ag School on the South Side.
Yeah.
So what we saw was that all these big organizations like Erica Allen, Growing Power, Growing Home, Resource Center, that they were very splintered and they didn't really communicate with each other. And we didn't want to be involved in that. You know, we wanted to bring everybody together. They all have their thing, and they don't want to really give up their money, and they didn't talk to each other. So we thought maybe we could be the conduit so that everybody could kind of talk and not feel, you know, threatened. Like, you're going to, if I tell you something of what I'm doing, you might get my grant money. And, you know, that happens.
Yes.
In my, it doesn't matter what organization. That's how it goes. Grant money
Solar
is scarce.
Solar energy is the same. Yeah.
So what we thought is, is to create this website and give people a place to, and it's just developing. It's
yeah,
new.
And I would tell people, let's go there and take a look and see if you like what you see. And if you have,
you want to volunteer and help us write or monitor and manage, or, you know, just reach out to Roger Cooley on the website. He is, he's the man. He's the ED right now. I'm just writing checks.
And, yeah, but you're involved in it, and that's good. We've got about a minute left. A couple of things. I want to urge everybody who has an inclination, go down to Roosevelt University today. Lisa will be part of a workshop at 1 o'clock on
resiliencies and buildings, how we use our energy.
And there are other great, Bioneer Chicago continues, final day today. I also noticed, and you can go to their website, and just walk in, go to Roosevelt.
What year is this? How many years has this been going on?
Well, this is the second one in Chicago, but they've been around in other parts of the country. And I noticed that there's a thing on Petcoke on WYCC tonight at 6:30 that Tom Shepard shared with us. It's a great segment. It's called the show's called In the Loop, and it talks to people living nearby requiring breathing respirators, etc. It's just
Channel 20 WYCC
60 tonight on the Petcoke problem. We never have enough time on the show.
I
wish I could afford it. So I just want to thank Christy Weber for being here.
Thank you.
And Rob and Lisa and Sarah, and say go green or
go home.